As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It is time to get outdoors. Walleye opener next month. Open water fever. Steve Kearney joins us. SteveKearneyOutdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
Great, Steve. Good afternoon. Yeah, we had a nice afternoon on the water this afternoon. It's a little chilly. It's in the 40s. It's not, you know, in the 50s or 60s like we'd like it to be. But, you know, it's really amazing. This whole week, it's been these crappies, I'm telling you, they have an attitude. They don't move in until about 1 or 2 in the afternoon. A good example today, we got on the water about 10 a.m., the water temperature was 46, 45, not the greatest. And by 1 o'clock, it was 50. And it's just so strange. I already hit these spots in the morning. Nothing was happening. And then by the time we came back, you know, to hit them again before we left, they were there. And that's a difference between 3 or 4 different, you know, degrees in temperature in the middle of the day. So it's definitely an early afternoon, mid-afternoon bite right now, and that sun is straight up warming up the shallows. So yeah, we pulled it off. It wasn't easy, but it happened.
Yeah, and it seems like it's been a slow spring, that we're trending in the right direction. There's more days, at least here in the cities, in the 60s coming up this week, but it has been a slow emerging spring.
Yeah, the problem is at night, you know, I had frost on my windshield this morning, so it was, you know, in the 20s, which, you know, drops the water temperature again, so we're not really gaining, you know, any warmth. It just kind of comes and it goes, but there's no doubt that early afternoon, probably 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock is really the time to be out there, and it really makes a big difference. I can't believe it went up today almost 4 degrees in just a couple of hours, but that's what the power of the sun is, you know, at this time of the year. So all is well, but it looked a little dicey there for a while.
Yeah, and it is amazing. You get into this time of year, you get into the middle of April and beyond, and if you're able to get out of the wind, that sun feels great. It does have a lot of power.
Yeah, it really does. And it was kind of windy today, but, you know, we're having wind almost every day. We just kind of live with it, but I'm going to be on Big Stone Traverse this week. It looks like, you know, water temperatures have ramped up to 50, 51, which should be just about right. I think things will be just starting this week. So we have about, you know, 10, 14 days or so till a walleye opener. And that's a good place to go right now and, you know, get your action in before things start. And people are getting their boats out. I can see them running around. They're, you know, starting to come out of storage and everybody's getting ramped up. The ice is off. So this is kind of almost go time, Steve. Almost go time.
Yeah, I live on Old Man River, and the boats are out. There's no doubt about it. There's anglers out trying their luck along the Mississippi River regularly now, and we're even starting to see the pontoons. I even saw the personal watercraft out. Now the water's awful cold, but boy, the people that own those things, they love to run them, and they were out there. They had the dry suits on, but they were out there running around burning fuel. So good for them.
Yeah, you know, they do what they do, and even the water skiers are out already. But, you know, one thing about this crappie bite is it's amazing how tight to shore they are. When you find bulrushes, pencil weeds, like today, they weren't, you know, 20 feet out, they're not there. You got to be right smack next to them within probably 4 or 5 feet. I mean, they're really tight against these bulrushes and really tight against the pencil weeds, so... You know, don't be afraid to get really in there very close, you know, maybe a foot and a half, 2 feet. But, yeah, it's amazing how shallow they can be, especially with that warmth in the afternoon.
I know earlier this spring, Steve, we talked about getting your gear ready and so on and so forth. Another big one is if you're planning that trip and you're going to take the boat out, make sure your trailer's in good working order, the hubs, et cetera. Make sure that everything associated with your boat is in good working order. Know where that plug is. Make sure when you get to the landing, the plug's in, batteries, all of that sort of stuff. You don't want to launch that boat and then find out you got something you didn't address.
Well, Steve, as usual, on opening weekend, you're going to see the guys that did not do their homework, and they're going to be stuck at the access. The motor won't start. Or you're going to see them on the side of I-94 with their trailer in the ditch because they didn't take care of the hubs. And, yeah, that's important. We talk about that every year. That's something you really got to be on. Get those hubs done. And, you know, right now the marinas and the dealers are really going to start getting busy here in the next week or so. You know, everybody wants their stuff for the opener. So you really want to get on this right away and, you know, get the hubs done, get them checked out. And just don't squirt a bunch of grease in it. You know, a lot of people do that. If they have, you know, bearing buddies or whatever, they squirt some grease in, and they think that's fine. No, you really have to have a professional go in there, check those bearings, and actually take them apart and make sure there's no water in there. And that's really important, just to get in there and check it out. Might cost you a few bucks, but it'll give you peace of mind.
Yeah, and then as far as batteries, a battery tester, they're cheap. They sell them at any hardware store. Hey, you can find out, make sure everything's charged up. And then all the wiring's clean and in good shape, whether it's on the trailer or in the boat. I mean, it's all just quick maintenance, you know, the visual checks, and if it's not, get it fixed.
You know, one thing about batteries, you know, I put a battery charger and a checker on my batteries, and, you know, these batteries now, the lead acid will maybe make a couple years, and you check into them, and if they don't take a charge, that means you got a bad cell, and you don't want to be going out with a bad cell. So I always put that, you know, check it, and if you don't get a good charge on it, you know, get another battery, because, you know, lead acid batteries just don't have very much longevity, and you got to make sure that all those cells are working. And if you can't take a charge, that means you've got a bad cell. So, you know, something to think about.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Steve, always good advice. Good luck out at Big Stone and Travers. We look forward to a report next week. We'll be on following the Twins next Saturday, and we look forward to visiting with you then.
Sounds great. Have a great Easter, and happy Easter.
Yep, happy Easter, Steve, and happy Easter to all. And by the way, we've got a big Easter sports-wise. Coors Hill gets started at 10, Inside Twins at 11:30. Corey Provis will be hosting Inside Twins tomorrow here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And Rocco Baldelli, the manager. And then at noon, the lineup card, first pitch just after 12:30, Twins and Braves, final game of the three-game series. Game 2 coming up tonight with the lineup card at 5:30. In a moment, we'll preview the Wild. Their opening round Stanley Cup playoff series with the Vegas Golden Knights. They get started in Vegas late tomorrow night. And Jez Myers will join us from the Pioneer Press from Vegas here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It was really never in doubt. Everyone knew the Wild would be in the playoffs. but they are in, and they finish it off and beat the Ducks. There was a lot of drama in that. And now they open with the Vegas Golden Knights tomorrow night. Late start on a school night, but that's the way it goes. Jess Myers joins us from Las Vegas. He covers the team for the Pioneer Press. Jess, always good to visit with you.
The sun is shining. I can see palm trees. I can get used to this whole desert hockey in the spring thing. I'll just say that. You know, I was sad. It was a year ago today that we lost the Arizona Coyotes, but we've still got a team in the desert in the Vegas Golden Knights, and they've turned out to be just a massive success in, 7, 8 years. They've already won a Stanley Cup and been to the finals twice, and hockey fever out here in the Nevada desert.
You could argue it is the greatest success an expansion team in any sport has ever seen. And now, granted, they did it right. They got a lot of solid players right out of the gate, including Marc-Andre Fleury. Remember?
Absolutely.
Was with the Vegas Golden Knights and really helped jumpstart this franchise. And they've been good from day one.
And people forget, and you know, and they shouldn't forget, but this is, part of the Vegas Golden Knights story is just days before they started, there was that horrific mass shooting here at a country music festival right on the strip. You know, dozens and dozens of people lost their lives. I mean, it was just an unthinkable moment for any community to go with. And then right with all of that going on, the Vegas Golden Knights start up. And they start winning. And, you know, talking to players who weren't even here during that, they still talk about Marc-Andre Fleury and how just that was such a healing moment for this community. It was the first time Vegas had gotten a team of its own, not a team that moved here like the Raiders or like other teams that we've seen. This was the first homegrown Vegas team, and it's really special to the fans here to have that. Yeah, they're going to get baseball in a couple years with the A's moving here, and like I say, they got the Raiders moving here, and you'll probably get an NBA expansion team eventually. But hockey was the first real team that came to the desert and said, this is our home, this is where we're going to set up shop, we're going to do things. So there's a real special bond in this community with this Vegas team.
Yeah, certainly homegrown, and they've been very successful. At the beginning, I joked a little bit that it was a done deal. The Wild were kind of hanging on for dear life, and then ultimately finishes the top wild card and go into the playoffs and get the Golden Knights. They got healthy barely in time.
Well, and, you know, I'm going to write about this. A little teaser for folks who read the Pioneer Press. I'm going to write about Joel Eriksson Ek and just what him coming back means to this team. Not only his skill, but keep in mind, this is a 6'3 guy. This is the guy that you need in the playoffs to put at the top of the crease and cause problems. And, hey, lo and behold, if he doesn't score with 20.9 seconds left in the last game, we're not here today. We're not talking about the playoffs. They would have missed the playoffs if not for that. So we kind of joked with a few of the players today after their practice out here in the Vegas suburbs. We were saying, you know, did you buy Eriksson Ek? Is he getting a Rolex from the team? Any kind of thank you for the fact that, you know, if not for him, you'd be in the playoffs. And they all kind of joked that, at least one player said, well, you know, we had to carry the weight without him for those like 36 games that he missed too. So maybe he owes us a watch, you know, kind of just having fun. But that fun team dynamic as they get ready for the playoffs. And this is a team that's loose. You know, there's not a lot of expectations, not a lot of people picking them to advance past Vegas. So I think they're saying, hey, we're here. Let's see what we can do. Let's have some fun.
Jess Myers joining us from the Pioneer Press. He covers the Wild, joins on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Game one tomorrow night, two in Vegas, and they come back to St. Paul. And because Vegas calls the West home, there'll be a lot of late starts in this series. But back to the Wild in that game against the Ducks. You're right. It felt like it was slipping away. Joel Eriksson Ek gets the goal, and that's kind of storybook ending number one. And then Marc-Andre Fleury in OT. Really?
Yeah.
It's extraordinary how all of that played out for the Wild.
And this is my favorite part about the whole Marc-Andre Fleury coming in, playing the final 4 minutes and 42 seconds, getting what had to be the shortest win of his career, 575 career wins, and that one took him less than 5 minutes to record that one. He got his NHL record 71st overtime win. And here's the thing. It wasn't his idea. It wasn't his coach's idea. None of them had any idea it was coming. But the game goes to overtime. The Wild get the point they need, so they're in the playoffs. They have that part of it guaranteed. And lo and behold, Filip Gustavsson, who has just played 60 minutes of hockey, comes to the bench, goes over to his coach and says, hey, we're in the playoffs. Why not put Fowler in one last time? And his coach says, that's a fantastic idea. And out of nowhere, here's, you know, Fowler that's been sitting for 3 hours, not ready to go in at all. Yeah. It's like, hey, get your gear on. You're getting the overtime. Just insane. And now, nobody wants to hear about a sports writer's problems because I have the best job in the world. I get paid to watch hockey. Yeah. But, you know, all of the drama of the final 20 seconds and the way it ends and the fact that, you know, I had it written up that they had lost the game and then I've got to change the whole story that, oh, by the way, they tied the game. They're in the playoffs. They got what they needed. And then we see Marc-Andre Fleury going into that. There's five more paragraphs I have to write. You know, it's just to capture the whole thing was an incredible challenge. But those are the moments you live for. Just times like that where it's like, this cannot be real. Are we really seeing this happen? Right after we get literally a season-saving goal, 20 seconds later, we're going to have, you know, maybe one of the most beloved players in the NHL play his final 5 minutes of the regular season. Just crazy.
Yeah, it's been such a great year, and sometimes farewell tours go great, but he was a huge part of the reason this team made the playoffs. He wasn't a ceremonial player in any way, shape, or form. What he means in the room, but what he did on the ice, he was a big part of this.
And, you know, we expected to get a nice tribute to him when we were here in Vegas, and we did, because he played here. We expected that when they played in Pittsburgh, because he was a Stanley Cup winning goalie there. He was beloved in Pittsburgh. You know, there was a tribute to him in Chicago where he played for a little while. But this has been the amazing part for me, having watched Marc-Andre Fleury all season and been in all these different buildings. We go to Vancouver, British Columbia, where he never played a game in his life as the home team. And they do a big tribute to him. We go to Montreal, which, granted, it's his home province, and he grew up not far from there. They stop the game with 7 minutes left and do an on-ice tribute to him. You know, he never played with Alex Ovechkin. They were arch rivals on the ice. But the last time they play, Alex Ovechkin makes his whole Washington Capitals team line up and shake Marc-Andre Fleury's hand one last time. Just the level of the respect and the love for this guy has been just beyond anything I think anybody could ever hope for after a 20-year career in the NHL.
Yeah, just absolutely fabulous. Storybook. I'll never forget one of my top 10 favorite moments in hockey, period, was the Flowers appearance in Montreal. That was really cool.
Yep. And he said the only thing, his only complaint was, you know, he was shutting out Montreal in that game. There's 7 minutes left in the game. It's like, you know, I'm trying to concentrate here, and I got tears coming down my face. And you know, there's my mom and sister, and, you know, waving. It's, oh, boy. But he did get the shutout, and they got the win, and that turned out to be, hey, every point turned out to be important with the way the regular season ended.
On to the postseason, and the way the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs go, it's certainly the Wild are an underdog as a wild card, and once again had all sorts of injury problems, and it came down to game 82 for them to ultimately get into the playoffs. But you know how it goes, Jess. It's wide open. There's no guarantee the Winnipeg Jets are going to the Stanley Cup final, even though they won the President's Trophy. There are no guarantees for any of these clubs.
In fact, when you look at this, you talk about all the injuries. November 10th. Think about that date, Steve. November 10th. I had just gotten back from deer season. Kids are still opening their Halloween candy on November 10th, right? That was the last time before the Anaheim game that the Wild had a fully healthy lineup. Think about that. Just how long ago, how different the world was on November 10th. So they played the entire regular season from that point until the last game with all a healthy lineup. Now they're healthy. They've got everybody at their disposal. Now, injuries happen in the playoffs. Don't kid yourself. You know, things are going to change over the course of the next 4 to 7 games. But in addition to that, now they're making a key new move on their blue line. Zeev Bouyam, the University of Denver star, you know, almost won the Hobey Baker Award. He won a national championship last year. John Hines confirmed today he will make his NHL debut tomorrow. And if you've been watching practice the last couple of days, Zeev Bouyam, freshman, 19-year, you know, rookie, 19-year-old, never played an NHL game in his life, has been working with the top power play unit for this team. So you talk about an exciting development and a crazy exciting time to make your NHL debut. Oh, by the way, we're going to do it in a playoff game on primetime TV on the road against a really, really good Vegas team. Have fun with that.
Well, and not only that, maybe one of the great buildings anywhere in the NHL. They put on a show. I mean, it's great sports theater.
It's if you've ever seen Cirque du Soleil or any of those kind of great classic Vegas shows, Picture that, but with skates on. You know, it's a whole Knights of the Round Table and, you know, sword fighting and dragons and everything you expect from a team with a name like the Golden Knights. You know, they have this kind of castle look to their arena, and everything's got that whole, you know, Excalibur theme or whatever you want to call it. It's great entertainment. And, I mean, for a place like Las Vegas built on keeping people entertained, keeping them in their seats, having fun, it's perfectly fitting to do the hockey version of that, and fans just eat it up here.
All right, Jess, let's get in. For you, what's the key to the series for the Wild to pull the upset, knock off the Golden Knights?
You know what? I heard an interesting thing from Bruce Cassidy, the Vegas coach, yesterday. He was talking about, you know, and this is a guy who led his team to the Stanley Cup 2 years ago, so he knows about getting deeper into the playoffs. He said, as much as you prepare, as much as you watch videotape, as much as you study tendencies, you know who you have to stop, you know who the big line is for the other team, as much as you do all of that stuff, he said, you really don't know anything until the first 60 minutes of the series are done. Game one is kind of your classroom where you learn, oh, that's what that guy's going to do in this situation, you know, and things like that. Yes, they've played each other 3 times, but I really think for the Minnesota Wild, it's survive that first game. You don't necessarily have to win that game, but don't get blown out. It'd be great if you come in and capture the first one on the road, and we've seen the Wild do that their last couple trips to the playoffs. But that's the thing is that, you know, we've heard all these talk about the 3 games they played in the regular season, for example. All 3 were the second night of a back-to-back for the Wild. You know, so they came in tired. They came in having to travel, and they played a Vegas team that was rested. All 3 of them they lost, but a couple of close games in there. So that's one key. And then here's the other key. Don't kid yourself. Superstars rise to the top in the playoffs. You've got to find a way to contain Jack Eichel, superstar player for the Vegas Golden Knights, you know, the former Hobey Baker Award winner at Boston University. He got drafted 2nd overall in Buffalo. He just absolutely languished in Buffalo for about 5 years, just was not a good fit, was never healthy there. He gets works a trade to Vegas. Lo and behold, he makes his first appearance in the playoffs 2 years ago, not even in the Stanley Cup final, in the playoffs, and he wins the Stanley Cup, and he's where it all kind of begins and ends offensively for Vegas. So if you can find a way to slow him down, that'll be a key in this series as well.
Well, Jazz, always good to visit with you. Enjoy your time in Vegas. Look forward to your coverage in the Pioneer Press and online at TwinCities.com.
Hey, for all the road trips we take to places like Calgary and Vancouver and Winnipeg and wherever else, it's nice to, when you're packing to go on a road trip, to have to throw a little bottle of sunscreen in there. I'm just going to say that. You know, it's a little nice to come to the desert and see the sunshine and know that the pool's open. In between games, of course, because we're working real hard out here.
All right, Jess. Always great. Thank you.
We'll stay in touch. Thanks, Steve.
There he is, Jess Myers from the Pioneer Press. Wild and Golden Knights open it up. 9 o'clock our time, game 1, 4:33. We'll come back. We'll update the weather. And then the Timberwolves open against the L.A. Lakers. NBA playoffs start tonight. And we'll get into that here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. NBA playoffs play-in tournament in the rearview mirror, and we are underway. Indiana knocked off Milwaukee 117-98 earlier today. In progress, the Clippers and the Nuggets. LA leads at 75-74. That came early in the fourth quarter. And then, of course, Detroit and New York, game one in the East. And then later tonight, 7:30 our time, it'll be the Minnesota Timberwolves and LA Lakers in game one. And to talk more about that, someone who's covered the Timberwolves all season long for FanDuel Sports Network, analyst Kevin Lynch joins us. Kev, good to visit with you.
Steve, it's always good to hear your voice. And I know I texted you recently about a great Italian joint downtown Anoka, Barzini's. I don't know if you've eaten there.
I have not.
Oh, my God, Barzini's. It's downtown Anoka. Great pasta, great breadsticks. Dude, you got to get there, like, tonight. I'll meet you there in a couple hours.
Yeah, I'm a driver tonight, unfortunately. I've got to take two women that I live with to Kendrick Lamar tonight at U.S. Bank Stadium.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Is there going to be like a capacity crowd there for this concert?
I think it's 100% sold out. Now, I haven't checked, but yeah, so we're going to leave early and get downtown and find a place to park. I may need a small loan to afford the park.
Oh, yeah. Well, here, I'll just send me your Venmo, and I'll send you like a couple $100.
Yeah, I may need it.
You guys have a great time tonight.
So, Timberwolves. Timberwolves, Lakers, and the NBA television, the game's on ABC tonight. They got to love this. Luka Doncic, the LA Lakers, Doncic, a big part of the reason why the Dallas Mavericks a year ago knocked off the Timberwolves in the NBA Western Conference Finals. You have Anthony Edwards. I mean, there's a ton of star power in all of this. What a first-round matchup, Timberwolves-Lakers starting tonight.
Now, you know, with that said, you know, the teams went 2-2. They played four times this year, the Wolves and the Lakers, 2-2. Can't judge a whole lot on it because Doncic didn't play for the Lakers the first three games. In the fourth game, he did. But then the Wolves had, you know, I don't think Julius Randle didn't play. You know, they got some guys missing. So this is a fascinating matchup to me. And I tell you what, the Wolves can win this series. And I know everybody's predicting the Lakers, higher seed, and star power. I get that. But I think this is going to be a great series. I think it's got a good chance to be very entertaining, whether the Wolves win or lose. And the NBA, like you said, they love it with LeBron James at 40 years old and Doncic and all the hype around that trade in Dallas and then facing Minnesota and with the Mavericks last year in the Western Conference Finals. And it's a dream come true. And by the way, Steve, you mentioned that the series, one of the series that I'm super interested in kind of paying attention to is that Detroit Nick series. You know, obviously Karl-Anthony Towns, but Detroit is that's a tough customer team right there. That's going to be fun to watch. But yeah, it's going to be super interesting to kind of pay attention to the Wolves and Lakers, and I can't wait for it to get going.
Yeah, and the Timberwolves certainly had their ups and downs this year early. You know, there was a lot of good play, and then there were stretches where it's like, what's going on with these guys?
Yeah.
But if you look at when the Timberwolves played well and they made a commitment to defense and share the ball and not turn it into in the final 2 minutes where Ant's playing hero ball, they really are a team that could get on another run if they play together on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was looking at a couple hours ago. I was just kind of looking at some stats before the series starts tonight, and I was looking at net rating. You know, they have an offensive net rating, you have a defensive net rating, which I don't even know all the calculations of how you get this rating exactly, but it's basically, you know, the top offensive teams are at the top of that offensive net rating, the top defensive teams, da da da, and then you have a total net rating where you mix together your offense and defense net rating. And the top three teams in the NBA for the regular season, it was Oklahoma City, Cleveland, and Boston, the top three teams as far as records after the regular season finishes. Number four, Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, that's interesting to me because, to me, that shows that the Wolves are maybe better than their, what their record indicates, and the Wolves are a top eight team in offense as far as their rating and a top six team defensively. So, yeah, it's going to be, you know, can the Wolves handle the moment? That's going to be maybe the biggest thing for me, the kind of the overall general thing, because the Wolves did not handle the moment with Dallas last year in that West Finals. So can they handle the big stage in L.A. and nationally televised games and just kind of can enough of their players play well? Edwards is going to play well. He's going to be double and triple teamed all, the entire series. But can Julius Randle consistently play well against his former team? And then guys like can Gobert kind of, you know, put his stamp on this series as well and dominate inside? And can Jaden McDaniels be a consistent offensive threat? And the Wolves, again, have enough talent to play well on both ends to make this a series, but maybe win the series too. So, yeah, this is fascinating to me.
Yeah, and a final thought on all of that. I think the Timberwolves certainly are a deeper team. You've got one of the all-time greats in LeBron James, and I know he has his detractors, but you look at the body of work, and I think you can be, and it's fair to be critical of the way he moved around, moved to Miami, and then back to Cleveland, ultimately out to L.A., and so on and so forth. But, you know, still an all-time great player. And then Doncic, when he's healthy, he's a great player.
Yeah, and he kind of, you know, he kind of distorts your defense because, you know, he's a guy that, you know, you run that simple pick and roll just like he did with the Mavericks last year in the playoffs, and then he gets hot, and then he gets cocky and arrogant and all this kind of stuff. And then that's one thing, you know, he's a great player, Doncic, a great offensive player. Defensively, he can be a liability, so that can be an issue. But I kind of get tired. He can be a baby.
Yeah.
And he gets arrogant. He starts yapping to the crowd and all this kind of stuff. So I get kind of tired of that. But yeah, when he gets rolling offensively, he's hard to stop. But you know, the Lakers really have, you know, James, Doncic, and Austin Reeves are really their only three consistent offensive threats. The other guys are kind of come and go. But if the Wolves defense can kind of keep track of them and play better against Doncic than they did a year ago, I think the Wolves defense can kind of dictate where this series goes.
Well, it's going to be fun. Once again, tonight, ABC prime time, Timberwolves and Lakers game one. They won't go again until Tuesday. They kind of spread these games out. And I actually like that you're not getting, you know, every other day. I think the fans deserve rested players in the playoffs, so I don't mind they stretch it out, and the teams go in and don't have that excuse where it's kind of like they are fully rested when they go in game two, for instance.
Yeah, big time. I mean, that allows a guy like Chris Finch to shorten up the players that you're playing. It gives you guys, you know, 2 days rest in between games. That's good for Edwards because he's going to be working hard the entire series. So I like, and plus it's the NBA doing that too, Steve. They think this could be a quick series, so they're going to stretch out the games a little bit more, thinking the Lakers could win in four or five, but having extra days off in between is good for the Wolves because, you know, 82 games is tiring, especially for your best player Edwards, who needs a rest at times. So I think that can be a good thing for Minnesota.
Well, Kev, always good to visit with you. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. Enjoy the concert.
Yeah, there he is, Kevin Lynch, joining us, FanDuel Sports Network. And he joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We turn our attention to the Twins. They're on the road in Atlanta. Heartbreaking loss Friday night to the Braves. Looked so good early, and then it fell apart late. We'll get into the highlights. And then Bob Nightingale will join us. He's an Odyssey MLB insider and a longtime writer for USA Today. His son Bobby covers the Twins for the Star Tribune. But Dad's going to join us. Bob Nightingale from USA Today and Odyssey MLB Insider following the news and weather at 5. Then we'll have a sneak peek at the lineup and then bring you the lineup card starting at 5:30 from the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Twins and Braves on a warm, dry night in Atlanta here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Twins on the road in Atlanta this weekend. More about Friday night's heartbreaker. But the weather in Georgia, certainly dry and comfortable. It looks like rain will be in early in the week, but they should be high and dry. Tonight, cloudy, a low near 65. Sunday, Easter Sunday in Atlanta, 85. No mention of rain, and they certainly could use it in that part of the world. Not until Tuesday. The Twins will be long gone by then. So weather, not a problem in Atlanta and Truist Park. And the Twins got off to a great start last night. There's no question about it. And things looked so good until the eighth inning. Let's start with some of the positives. Twins jumped out to an early 1-0 lead.
Sharply fair, pass Riley down into the corner. That should score Correa. Correa gears down into first. He will lope home. Jeffers thinking about three. Hard turn at second base.
So the Twins grab a 1-0 lead thanks to Jeffers. And then the rookie, and you got to love this, first major league hit.
Crouches in his stance. He lines this one into right field. That's going to be a base hit and an RBI. Jeffers scores. Kieschel rounds hard at first. He'll settle in with an RBI single. Welcome to the big leagues, Luke Kieschel. It's 2-0 Twins.
Yeah, so smiles all the way around. Luke Kieschel gets it going for the Twins. And they weren't done in the third. How about a long ball?
Warnick awaits. He swings and hits this one well. Deep right field, headed for the 16-foot high wall, and it's over the wall for a home run. There's the breakout we've been waiting for. Trevor Larnach with his first of the year, and it's 3-0 Twins.
Yeah, so 3-0. Once again, everybody happy. Twins fans, wherever they were, certainly thrilled. And then in the fourth, the rookie does it again.
This ball pulled fair into the left field corner. That's going to be extra bases for Kieschel. Lee scampers around second. Ball takes a funny hop. Brooks gets a big old stop sign at third from Tommy Watkins. It's a 2-for-2 day for Luke Kieschel as he doubles past a diving Austin Riley and down into that worn out third base corner.
So there you go. And he would eventually come around to score.
Infield in, high fly ball, center field. Harris fairly shallow. Coming in on the ball, the lefty has the catch. Keyshaw's coming home, the throw to the plate, the slide from Kieschel. He's in, it's a sack fly, and the Twins lead it 4-0.
Unfortunately, that would be the end of the Twin scoring for the night. They put four on the board, and then Atlanta rallies. They get a run in the fifth, and then put up a crooked number in the eighth. This turns out to be the game winner.
As he shoots one through the middle, it won't be a factor. Line drive, base hit, Baldwin. One run scores. Here comes Harris. It's a 5-run eighth inning. It's a 6-4 Atlanta lead. And it is a gut punch for the Minnesota Twins.
Very tough night for Griffin Jacks. Twins take the loss 6-4, and now they got to turn the page. Game two of the three-game set tonight. It'll be, once again, Twins and Braves. We'll have the news and weather, more on the ball game. Bob Nightingale joins us here on the CCO.